few weeks ago, and I preached it from a different angle. And again, I'm not going to go back and preach that part of it again. But it's found in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's a simple scripture. We know the scripture very well. And it's found there in chapter number 10, one verse of scripture, verse 13. I got several scriptures I want to go through and I want to talk about. But laying all jokes aside, if I see that you're getting worn out, y'all would not believe how tired I am. But if I see y'all getting weary and tired, we're going to draw a ticket and call it a day. Bingo! No, we're not going to do that. But I'm not going to wear you out tonight. There's a scripture that I believe the Lord laid upon my heart. Again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about the latter part of it. It says in the latter part, 13b, as we write them down, as we write scriptures out, it would be 13b. That means it would be in the latter part of the verse. So you can go right to it and find it. And it says, but God will not be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. That's the thing that we focus on when we focus on that verse. But for this message this evening, we're going to talk about the first part of this message. And we're not even really going to talk about temptation. There's a clause in the middle of that verse that often comes to our hearts when we look throughout Scripture. And this, again, tonight will be a topical message. And we're following a topic. I do that a lot. It may not be the best way to do it, but it's just the way I was taught, the way I learned, and the way I do it. But I'm going to read this whole verse, and it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." And that is one of those scriptures that simply tells me, you're not the only one being tempted, Bubba. People are tempted, common to man. People are tempted in all kinds of ways. But in this, again, I'm not going to try to focus on the temptation part of this message, and I hope I'm not doing any theological damage to the text. But even in the temptation, the Bible says that God is faithful. I want to talk about the faithfulness of God tonight, or God is faithful. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I do come before your presence this night, God. I thank you, Father God, for your anointing. I thank you, God, for your presence. I thank you, Father God, because without you, we know, God, that we cannot do anything at all. And Father, I pray, God, that every person in this room would hear. God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, Father. God, let us reflect upon this message, not only for this evening, but not only for tomorrow, but God, let us focus on this message and think about it for a few days as we leave this place tonight, God. No matter what we're going through, no matter the storms that's around us, no matter what is there in front of us, God, let it resound within our spirit tonight to recognize and to know that, God, that you are a faithful God. And Father, we thank you, God, and we give you glory and honor and praise for all that you've done. And we thank you in advance for your faithfulness, Father. God, I give you all the praise and the glory, God, that's due your precious name. And I thank you for it. We thank you for that anointing. We thank you for the touch of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, I was listening to Pastor John Hagee. And I heard Brother Hagee say something on the television. I have been in several services with him throughout the years, and he preached the General Assembly camp meeting and thing, or General Assembly, the Church of God, several times, and we've been in services with him, and actually have met him personally on one occasion in Singing in the Sun. We've been down there with Terry and Francis years ago and met him there at his booth. But one of the things that reflects in my heart that Brother Hagee said one time, and he said, the church should not have any trouble trusting God. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. Not only is God faithful in the things I'm going to talk about this evening, but all the promises of God, all you people who's got cell phones on, it's going off all over the room. Probably an Amber Alert. It's an Amber Alert. All right, now we got the Amber Alert taken care of. How many people left your cell phone on for church? You know what? If you silence your cell phone, that Amber Alert's still going to sound. You're still going to hear it. You're still going to hear it. Let it get over and let... Anybody driving a black Dodge here tonight? If you are, you're looking for you. But God says, and I remember Brother Hagee saying that God is faithful. Not only is God faithful in what we call some of the stuff I'm going to look at in a minute, but God is also faithful in judgment. The Bible reminds us that the Word of God, all the promises of God are yea and amen. That's going to do that probably about three times while we're in church tonight. If it does, just everybody listen to me, and unless you need to go outside and get your Dodge and hit the road. But he says in the Word that God is faithful. Amen. James reminds me that in the Bible it says that in God there's no variance, there's no shadow of turning. I've used that scripture many times, and by that it just means that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'll get into a little bit of that in a minute. Now remember that John Hagee said these words. He said that God can be trusted. And the reason that God can be trusted is simply found in the fact that God, watch this, God has a perfect track record. Amen. Which means that God cannot fail. And I've thought about that, and I'm thinking about how the Bible, again, or how Brother Hagee said that God has never failed. How many of you ever listen to K-Love? Some of you don't, some of you do. I hear a song periodically on K-Love that every time I hear it, I make mention to Sherry. I said, I don't know if I agree with that song right there. I mean, it's got a good meaning, and I understand where they're coming from, but... this song, and I don't even know who sings it. Martha probably knows who sings it. I don't. But Sherry, but in this song, there's a line and there's a part of that song that says, and God has never failed me yet. When I hear that song and it says this word, yet, to me in the back of my mind, there seems to be, in my mind, maybe not yours, but in the back of my mind, I'm going, there's an expectancy that somewhere along the way, God is going to let me down. But God's not going to let us down. God is faithful. When we think about the faithfulness of God and who God is and what God has said, I looked up the word faithful or faithfulness in the Strong's Concordance, and just a very quick definition of it, not a deep definition of it, but just a very brief definition of it. It just simply means that faith or faithfulness is a word that means steadfast. That God is steadfast. If you need a steadfast God, the God we serve is a good God to serve. Then it talks about how that this word faithful is a word that also means not only steadfast, but it means trustworthy. It means, if you look at this, it says, steadfast to one's trust, his word, his promise. Sometimes I ask myself, if every one was as faithful to the kingdom as me, how faithful would people be to the kingdom? Now, I'm not saying about me personally, but if everybody was as faithful to God as you are, let's do it like that. Would we have a faithful kingdom, God's kingdom? I'd hate to have to report to you that probably most people in this room would say, Pastor, I've often failed God. I've often let God down. But even in our display of humanity and our often display of our human weaknesses, throughout the Scripture, we can still see that God is a steadfast, faithful God. We begin to look at the Word of God, and again, I gave Kathy some of these verses, so we're going to have to walk through some of them. I'm going to turn to some of them. We're not going to read every word of it, but some of the things I wanted to share with you this evening is the simple fact that we can look back over history and the scripture, and we can look back at the life of Israel. And even Israel, in all of their trouble, in all of their drama, in all of their challenges, we can see, even in the Old Testament, that they reported that God is faithful. When I begin to look at this in Deuteronomy, and I'm only going to mention a few of these and keep on traveling, but it says here in Deuteronomy chapter number 29, we can read verses 1 through 9. And I'm only going to read verse number 5 to you, because this is what the verse number 5 says. And this talks about the Lord and how that God had called Moses, and how that God had been faithful to the children of Israel, even through their leader Moses, when Moses led them through the wilderness. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you might be in a wilderness tonight, and you may feel like that God has let you down and God has failed you and that God has forsaken you, but God has not. God's not forsaken me. Brother West, I know what it feels like to feel like you're all alone. People think, well, a pastor should never feel alone. You can be around a whole lot of people. You can be around everyone and still, on the inside of your own person, be depressed and be alone, or at least feel that way. I've been there. I've been there, my friend. Not necessarily here at Thomasville, not as far as the church, but I know what it is to go to bed at night, close my bedroom door, get into bed, cover myself up, and hope and pray that nobody's pulling on me and nobody's jerking on me and nobody's in my throat and basically just frustrating my every moment. Now, that didn't happen at this church. It was somewhere else. I know that feeling. Just hide myself away, Brother Russell, and hope and pray that nobody finds me. Must have felt like David when he went and got in the cave, you know. David must have felt like that too. But when I begin to read this scripture and I talk about the faithfulness of God, even when Israel, the children of Israel, was going through the wilderness, the New Testament records them being there for 430 years. God kept them in the wilderness. But this scripture, For 40 years, we can see that how that they wandered and how that they drifted. There's no doubt times in our lives we ask ourselves, God, where are you at? Oh, so somebody tonight in this room, you're asking yourself, God, where are you? Sherry and I've done that. Situations and things we've dealt with in life. God, why? Where are you at? And God, no doubt in my mind, I thought about Israel. I didn't read a lot. I didn't go back to Exodus and read the whole book of Exodus again to discover everything that they went through. But this scripture here in Deuteronomy, it reflects the heart of God to His people. And He says, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. They learned a lot in 40 years, didn't they? 40 years, they wandered into wilderness. Now look at this. I get $10 when I get home. Don't you get sleepy on me. I'm picking. I was trying to wake everybody up. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. 40 years. Maybe in your life or my life, we go through obstacles and we go through things in our life. Hey, I've been there. Anybody besides me have been there? I know this crowd right here has recently. Said, God, where are you at? This is the promise that God made to the children of Israel. He said, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. In other words, God even was faithful to keep their clothing, hey, just like it came out of the cleaners over here. Now, it might not have been that extreme. It might not have been pressed and all that. But the point of the matter is that God knew how to clothe them. God knew how to take care of them. And then He says, and thy shoe is not waxing up old upon thy foot. God didn't even let the sole of their shoes wear out. God said He was with them. God said He was with them all the way. There's another scripture there in the book of Nehemiah. And I'm not going to turn there and read all of that. But Nehemiah has got verses 9 through 1 through 21. I'm only going to read verse 21. You can go back and read the rest of it as I have a little bit later. He says, yea, 40 years. 40 years. This is bragging on God. This is giving the testimony of God. 40 years, Nehemiah. And the God come down and he began to talk to them for 40 years. Didst thou sustain them in the wilderness? 40 years. So that they lack nothing. 40 years, the Bible says, their clothes wax not old. Now, when I read this one, I really got a kick out of it. Because most of the people in this room can sit in this church for an hour and your feet will start swelling. Hello, Pastor. Said 40 years, Brother Weston, it said their feet swelleth not. Swelled not. Now that's faithfulness. That's God being faithful to his people. I feel like I need to tell somebody, you don't need to hang your head in the situation that you're dealing with right now, because the God that was faithful to Israel is the same God that'll be faithful to you and I even now. Without going back and looking at all of this, the first thing that I want to talk to you about is simply this. That God has proved himself faithful in provision. So remember the word provision tonight. When you look at this again, I'm not going to take the time to read every bit of it, but 1 Kings chapter 17, you know it as well as me, verses 1 through 16. It's where Elijah had went there and he's by the brook, the woman there with the little meal barrel and how that she's going to make her a few sticks, her and her son, they're going to die. But Elijah done something really strange and said, you go make me a cake first, old selfish preacher. Always looking out for himself first. You go make me a cake first. Well, I can't do that. I got a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil, and a little bit of stick. But you go do what God said to do, and I'm going to prove to you the faithfulness of God. And we look at this in the scripture, and we can see this in 1 Kings 17, we look at verse number 16. This is the provision that God made for them, for the woman and her son. It said, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Maybe you're down to your last little bit in the bottom of the barrel. Hey, I got a word from heaven for you. You be faithful to God and you do what God has called you to do and told you to do. And I promise you, hey, I was thinking about this for a testimony service. Can anybody stand and tell me of a time that you have served God faithfully and God has not provided for you? God makes a way where there seems to be no way. We can be down to our last dime. We may not have two pennies to rub together, but my friend, he is going to provide for you. He's provided for me. I cannot tell you in the ministry and how many times in my life that I've given a special offering or I've given extra or I've done something that needed to be done or whatever. And I tell you, I've seen this over and over and over and over again. And my friend, I'll give a 20 and God will turn it around and somebody will put a 40 in my hand. I don't do it for the money. I'm just telling you that God has proved that to me over and over and over and over again. And this is one of those stories that I tell and I know I'm redundant, I'm repetitive, and I don't mean to, but it's for a point. You've heard it, and I've said it many, many times. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing again, but God proved that to me, Brother Robert, a long time ago. I had an old elderly Baptist preacher, snuff running, beech nut tobacco running out both sides of his mouth. He was level-headed, for sure. Both sides, get it? We had that little church in the storefront in Waynesville. I was very young, in my 20s. Didn't know much, thought I'd do a little bit. Never did brag about myself a whole lot. Had a little old bitty Toyota Starlet, little old bitty car, little old 83 model. Come out of church one night and that guy put a piece of money in my hand. No greedy preacher thought, man, he gave me a 20. No, he didn't. He gave me a dollar. $1. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do with a dollar? And I went and got in my car. You've heard the story. I went and got in my car, and that little old light come on. It says, fuel. I thought, what in the world? I took that dollar. I went down to the Shell station at the end of the road, pumped $1. And guess where I went? I went home in peace. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Woo! Why? It wasn't about the money. It was about the provision. God made the provision. He might have used a widow and a son that had not, but just a little oil and a little cruse to be able to feed Elijah. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When that dollar bill came into my hand, I might have expected one thing, but I got what God knew I needed. Don't mean to holler. It just gets all up in my spirit because I know that God, even his 30-something years later, however many years later, I know today, even if I need a dollar, it might be more than a dollar. I don't know, but my God is going to supply my provision. Yes, amen. I'm not going to go hungry. Come on, somebody. I don't mean to holler. And every now and then I try to be real sophisticated, and I try not to be real broke down and all that, but I get to thinking about what God's done and the goodness of God. I tell you, we need to lift up our mouth like a trumpet, and we need to tell the world, hey, while you're over there somewhere rubbing your hands and worrying about how you're going to make it, hey, I'm going to be sitting over in a corner grinning like a big-eared possum, thanking God that he has provided for me. Brother Dodson used to tell me, son, you be faithful. Son, you be faithful to God. Son, you be faithful to God. And Brother Dodson drilled that into me. You be faithful to God, son. You be faithful to God. And this is what Brother Dodson in his country way would tell me. He said, you'll be eating banana pudding off the Lord's table while they're begging the devil for a soda cracker. Some of you don't know a saltine cracker. Be faithful. God is faithful. And it said, the barrel, I didn't mean to get into all that other stuff. It just was in my heart. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. According to the word of the Lord, when Melvin Smith gave me that dollar bill, Brother Robert, he didn't know he rocked my world forever. He didn't know that here I'd be 30 some years later still talking about that dollar bill. Hallelujah. So it ain't the big things. Brother West, how many little things have you had happen to you in life that God showed you his faithfulness? You might be sitting here tonight and you might be mad and angry and upset. Well, God ain't never showed me nothing like that, preacher. Depends on what you're looking for. Let me rush through this really fast. We see here again, when we look at this in the scripture, not only when we look at this, we see that God has provided. We see that God not only keeps his word and God has made us to prosper. 40 years they kept food. 40 years not only did God provide, but God prospered them. Prosperity is not wrong. And it's not that money is wrong. It's the love of money. It's the greed. It's when you think, live, drink, sleep, eat money, 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 money. I've got people I know, and that's the first thing, not here. The first thing that comes out of their mouth is about money, 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 money. Everything's about money. Money is a tool to get you through this old world. You're not taking none with you. You're not taking it with you. Somebody might be fighting over it after you're already dead and gone. But unless they want to throw it in your coffin when you're dead and gone, hey, you're not going to take it with you. Somebody says, bury me with my diamonds, bury me with all my goodies, put it in the foot of my coffin. God bless you. Sorry, I'm a little preachy. I need to calm down. Nobody's sleeping tonight, huh? No $10 bills being gathered. Hallelujah. Louise don't count. Leave her alone. I'll collect from Pauline later. I got to keep this Sunday night crowd active. Got to keep them alert. So not only do we see that God provided and God gave them provision, God prospered them. There's nothing wrong with the church prospering. I can get into that at a later date for another message, but it's not for us to build bigger barns and to gather and not to do the work of the ministry with what God has given us. It is that we've got to be as faithful to God as God has been faithful to us. Second thing I thought about, not only in God providing for us and how that God's provision for us, I thought about the scripture where that God is faithful to you and I in giving us his salvation. When you look into 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, we see this in the Scripture. We see this by the understanding of the Scripture of how that the Bible teaches us if we do certain things that God will be faithful to us. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. You know the Scripture? And the Bible teaches us this. If we confess our sins, your part, He is faithful, His part, and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says, if you'll do your part, I'll do mine. Our whole salvation hinges on the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We do our part, God does His part. So not only we think about God as being a God that knows how to supply. I know you know these Scriptures. They're not new Scriptures to you. But this is a reminder this evening, and God just sent me by long enough this evening to remind you that God is faithful. You got the contract, you got the deal, you got something unexpected that you did not know how it was going to work out, but all of a sudden it worked out, and something reminds you in the back of your mind tonight that happened recently, and you said, oh, now I understand why this got signed and how this contract came about, how this deal came together. God was looking out for me when I didn't know how to look out for myself, and nothing more, simply put, that God did. And the Bible lets us know that God is faithful over in the book of Philippians 4, verse number 19. You know the Scripture as well as I do. Again, Paul was talking to this church, the Philippian church, and the people of the Philippi, if you will. And God reminded them that God is faithful. I needed a dollar bill that night. That's all I needed was a dollar bill. I was able to use that dollar bill because God knew my need, and God supplied my need. And He says, if you look at this in the Scripture, and my God shall supply your need. Need, what you need. God knows what you need, and God knows how to get it to you. I believe that God knows what you have need of. And He says here, He says, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Every now and then, I feel a stirring in my soul to tell somebody in particular, watching online, somebody here, I don't know, but I just know that God knows where you're at. He knows what you need, and He knows how to get it to you. Somebody say amen. God knows where you're at. He knows what you need, and He knows how to get it to you. Even if He sends you a raven from the king's palace with a T-bone steak in his mouth, if you will. The ravens came over, and the raven brought them steak and sustained them, meat in the wilderness to sustain them. And the same God that sustained them in the Old Testament, Elijah, Elisha, and all the prophets are old, He is still able to sustain you and I even now. Amen. I know how to supply your need. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. This next one's one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Found in Matthew chapter number 6, verses 28 through 34. Martha sings the song, consider the lilies. Consider these disciples that Jesus was talking to. Tell them not to carry scrip, not to carry all these things that they could carry, not to carry them. No two coats. Don't worry about your shoes. Don't worry about any of it. Just go and do what I've called you to do. If we could get a hold of that, just go and do. And again, Jesus comes back with the assurance to His disciples. And why take ye thought for your raiment? Raiment. Somebody said, well, preacher, if I had the suits like you, I got four suits that I wear. I rotate them. If you'll ever notice, I got four. They fit me. I got about six more in the closet that don't fit me. They're too big. They hang on me like... Y'all thought this the other way around, didn't you? Some of you don't know me when I was 262 pounds instead of 220. Hello, somebody. And He says, and why take ye thought for a raiment? Consider the lilies. Think about it. We just change seasons. In the spring of the year, we have these things called daffodils. We have Easter lilies. They go through the dormant season. They go through the winter. My wife has taught me how to love fall of the year. She says, Alan, things are resting. Things are just resting. Used to, fall of the year was really depressing to me because I looked at the trees that was beautiful and green, and I looked at everything and filled with chlorophyll and filled with the beauty of the air, and all of a sudden everything's dead. I would go wrestle into this depression state, and I would think, everything's dying. Everything's dying. So Sherry's helped me for the last 2 or 3 years because I'm a spring of the year guy. I'm summer. I'm spring of the year. I love t-shirts. I love just no jackets, no coats. I just love about 85 degrees, and I just knock it out when it's like that. I love it. But yet we look at this and we see the seasons change. Consider the lilies of the field. What looks like it's dead in the fall, how they grow. Somewhere about the end of February here in this region, those little old, are they daffodils? Those little old daffodils, those little old Easter lilies start poking their head back up. I'm alive. I'm alive. You counted me out. You thought I was dead, but I'm still here. I hate the devil, don't you? The devil tries to knock you out. The devil tries to knock the church out. The devil tries to get you to give in, give up, throw in the towel, leave your home, leave your family, leave your wife, kick your dog, cuss your mother-in-law, forget about everybody. But no, we think about the faithfulness of God, and all we can do is think about how good God is. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Look in 29 following. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God says, I know how to take care of the field. I know how to take care of the lilies. And God says, I know how to take care of you. I'm not going to read the rest of that. Again, when we think about this, we think about this early church and God's faithfulness. I'm not talking about the book of Acts, but we think about what we know as the Word of God, and we've read the book, the history of Israel, and we've read all of this. When Jesus told this young church, these disciples, again in Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20 is the Great Commission. Only verse 20 is where I'm going for the sake of time. In verse number 20, Jesus was getting ready to go back to the Father. He knew that it wouldn't be long till his ascension. He was prepping his disciples to go on without him to fulfill the Great Commission. In reflection upon the faithfulness that he has been with them while he was there with them. You and I don't see Jesus tangibly. Hello? We know him by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit. We have that comforter now, that paraclete. We have the Holy Spirit now with us to assure us of God's presence. And then we see here when Jesus was getting ready to go away, he was giving these disciples his word. And he said, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And Chris Hewitt, this is not a commandment not to get in an airplane. Chris will take words out of context and make it fit him. He says, and lo, I am with you always. And Chris says, I ain't flying no airplane because God said, lo, I'm with you. He didn't say nothing about up there. I got to correct his theology every now and then. But he says, and lo, I'm with you always. God says, I'm not going to leave you. As a mother child has a child, a suckling at the breast, can a mother forget her baby? Can a mother forget her child at breast? No! And God's not going to forget us. God is not going to abandon us. How do you know that, preacher? Because God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. And he says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we see God being faithful in the past. We see God being faithful with the children of Israel, with Elijah. We see God being not only present or faithful in the past. But we see God being faithful in the future, because I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. But here's where we're going to land the plane this evening. Because it's okay that we reflect on the past. It's history. God has been faithful. But preacher, you don't know what I'm facing tonight. Oh yeah, we can talk about the future. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's our future promise. But what about right now, Pastor? And the things I'm going through and the things I'm dealing with, and the time that I worry myself sick and I cry myself to sleep. You think people in this church don't do that? You don't know what people go through. We see each other on Sunday, and every now and then we decide to come back Wednesday. Y'all are pretty faithful. But most people are just here one time a week. You know that. See, I pastor three different congregations. I didn't know if you realized that or not. I pastor Sunday morning church and Sunday night church and a Wednesday night church. They're all the same people, but you have to think about things different when you preach. I'm with you always, even to the end. What about now, Jody, if you'll come? I'm going to skip over a whole lot. A lot. I'm going to mention the scripture. I'm going to move fast. God was faithful in the past. God will be faithful in the future, but God is also faithful in the present. I feel like I'm talking to somebody, that God is faithful right now. Your worries and your anxieties and your uncertainties, write this scripture down and read it when you got time to do it. But Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, it was Paul's testimony. And this is one of the things that Paul was saying, verses 31 through 39. Paul was simply saying this: if God be for you, then who can be against you? That's in verse 31. You can read the rest of this. And Paul talks about nor height nor depth, creatures able to separate you from the love of God. And he goes on all the way down to the bottom. But he says that God is faithful in the now. God is faithful right now. Jude mentioned this. Jude is only one chapter, verses 24 and 25, is a reminder that God is so faithful. And he says this again in verse 24 of Jude. And he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God is just simply saying, Jude was just simply saying, that you're not going to fail, you're not going to fall, you're not going to be forsaken, you're not going to be abandoned, you're not going to be left. But in this, there's a simple little word that says, N-O-W, now. Now God is able to keep you. God's able to keep you right now from falling. I like Romans 8 and 1. Again, when you look at Romans 8 and 1, he talks about that there is, again, he says, now there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, my past is my past. I'm not in the future yet, but now God says, now there's no condemnation. Again, I don't know if I'm talking to anybody at any time when I'm preaching. I have no clue. And I'm not trying to figure that out. And I heard Jensen Franklin say something one time that made a lot of sense to me. He said, the reason that the devil keeps bringing up your past is because he don't have no new material on you. Always bringing up your past. Always bringing up your failures. Always bringing up the times that not only did you let yourself down, but you let God down. God says, now that you're in him, I'm faithful to you right now. Aren't you glad of that? One last scripture in the book of Ephesians, Paul mentions this. And he says this in the latter part of Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. And he says, it's now unto him that is able. I remember years ago we sang a song, God is able. He is able. Do you hear that scripture? The first part of that scripture? That God is able. Maybe you're struggling this evening to trying to figure it all out. Just let God do it. A few days ago, I seen a post and somebody put it on there that I love and somebody I care for. This person cares for somebody else. And this person wrote on there, I can't remember the whole thing, but it said, I'm not able to fix you. And then the post went on. I made a comment on that. And I said, I had to come to a startling realization several years ago. I can't fix nobody. Barney, I've seen people hurt miserably. And I wish I could just wiggle my nose and just make it all better. You've seen it too. But we feel helpless, don't we, Janice? We just feel helpless. But I told this person, I said, I learned a long time ago just to let God do it. Let God fix it. Do I still have troubles every now and then with that problem? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I still have issues with that, because as a pastor, I want to fix stuff. I'm a fixer. I'm more of a tinkerer than anything. That's why if something breaks down, Horace calls me and says, come and fix it. I said, that's no problem. I like fixing stuff. Hey, did y'all know that this week I become a refrigerator repair technician? Sure did. Finally, you owe me $10 for that. She says, finally. Refrigerator broke down. I thought, oh, goodness. Just got one bill paid off, and now here it is again. So Steve and Roger, I called my associates in my construction outfit, you know. They said, yeah, that if you've done that, that's got to be what it was. You know, you reach up, Don, you jiggle the thermostat. There's something wrong with the thermostat. And why, Bobby, I reached up there and jiggled that thermostat, I have no idea. I have no clue. But I did, Brother West. I jiggled that thermostat and the thing come back on. I thought, that's in the thermostat. Don't take much, Robert, to fill that out. You know, it's like, what is that all about? So I kept thinking about it for a day or two and thinking about parts and making sure. I called a local place. Steve helped me find the situation and parts, and Roger. And I called them back bragging the other day and had a little bragging rights going on. And it's like this woman on the other end said, well, we got the part, but we can't guarantee it. And she said, you can't bring it back. Boy, I second-guessed myself all the way there and all the way back. I thought I'd just spend $100 on a part that might not work. But I looked at the price of a refrigerator, and it's anywhere from $1,799 to $2,500. I thought, I'll take a chance on the $100. Then one of my associates, I won't call his name, but it's Steve Jones, but one of my associates said, well, if that don't work, I can get your money back, and I can trade it out for another one. I said, that's a pretty good deal. So I went over to the house, and she was gone. Oh, I wasn't going to let her see me tear that refrigerator apart. I had that thing tore all pieces, and I'm thinking, boy, I took pictures. I learned to take pictures when you start tearing stuff apart. We don't know how to put it back together. Russell taught me that. One of my other associates. I tore that thing apart, Brother West, and I'm going, I hope this thing works. I tore it apart and unplugged it and got it all back up in there and standing back and looked. I thought, I hope this thing works. Called Roger back and said, hey, I got it put back together. Called Steve, I got it put back together. Steve said, just let it run for about 24 hours. If it's still running, it'll be fixed. And I thought, you know what? It's as simple as a refrigerator in my mind. But God said, it's fixed. Now, I might go home tonight and it might be smoking. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. But it made me feel good that I was able to call my associates and fix that thing. Russell, Steve, Roger, and Richard's the superintendent. I can't leave Richard out. But I said all that to simply say this. It'll all work out. I didn't have $2,500. I could have went and got it on credit. I don't like to do that. I don't want to do that. I got enough going on. You know what I mean? I got enough going on. I don't want to do that. Could have called Robert. Robert could have said, hey, I'll be over there seeing you at 5 o'clock. Well, I'll fix that thing. I didn't even think about calling Robert. I was so happy about me. You know, it's like he could have brought all his little gauges and all his little tinkering tools. These guys that know refrigeration, I don't know refrigeration. I don't know stuff. I don't even know how to build buildings. But I got one at the house now that I had a lot of friends that helped me do. God will fix it. I'm meddling too much, ain't I? She said, I'm meddling. I owe her 20 nailed on her. You say, why are you saying all this? Because God's good. God's faithful. God will work it out. God knows what you have need of before you even ask. Maybe you need a touch tonight. Maybe you need God to do something. I can show you on my notebook. That's exactly how God told me to end this. Maybe you need a touch tonight. Maybe you need God to show you His faithfulness. I believe that God will do that. God is faithful. Stand with me tonight. I know in the church today we don't hold hands a lot. We don't touch people much these days. But just around you tonight, I just want you to look around you. I want you just to gently pray for that person next to you. They might be going through a hard time. They might be going through something that you don't know anything about. And the Scripture, and this is in line with Scripture, says, pray ye one for another. So, Father, tonight we come before you as a reflection of your faithfulness. Simply nothing more, God, but to reflect upon you being faithful. That, God, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And God, we take this time to praise you for your faithfulness. God, you said in your word, David said, I've been young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God, you made us kings and priests. And Father, you said that in 1 Peter, that we've been made ambassadors of Christ in this world today. That God, we're a reflection of you in this world that we're living in. So, Father, all around this room tonight, God, provision. God, provision for the people of God in this room. That, God, that you touch us, and God, you help us, and God, that you minister all around this room tonight to every person as we find themselves in need. But, God, more than anything, when we leave this place tonight, let us go out rejoicing, knowing, God, that you are faithful to your people, knowing, God, that you are faithful to us. And, God, we thank you for that. We give you praise for being faithful, God. We give you praise and glory and honor for being faithful. If he's been faithful to anybody in the room, just raise your hand up and praise him. If there's anything that you can thank him for right now, anything that comes to your heart, anything that comes to your mind, thank him for it. Maybe it's a provision. Maybe it's to keep you from an accident. Maybe it's providing health. We don't think about our health, do we? We don't think about the health that God gives us in our bodies and how many times he's touched us and how many times he's given us a healing in our body. And God, we thank you, God, for your provision tonight. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness this evening. All the times you've been faithful to us, God. Now, for a moment, just bow your head and put your hand down for a minute. Maybe you're in your room, maybe you're in the room and you're going through a storm and you say, Pastor, as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, saying, Pastor, I really need prayer this week. I'm really going through a few things and I just need you to pray. Anybody, just raise your hand, slip it up, slip it back down. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? A several folks here today that have raised their hand. And I promise you, this week, If you'll be faithful to God and serve God faithfully and be obedient to God and to His Word, we're going to watch God turn it around. And you're going to come back to Pastor and you're going to say, it might have took 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know about that. But you're going to come back and you're going to say, but God is a turnaround God. And God has been faithful. There's a song that says that. I think Andre Crouch or one of them years ago sang, He is faithful. Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, He is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. I hope you gleaned something from this, a nugget or two from this. I'm going to forgive Sherry's debt tonight, and I'm going to let her go home in peace. Amen. God bless y'all. Have a good night, and I'll see you Wednesday if you happen to be able to come.